how very appropriate the reading of the lesson from today from the book of Ecclesiasticus is to the feast that we celebrate today. And of course, since I am an oblate of Monte Cassino, I get to celebrate it in full fledge, even though it is the middle of Lent. The only thing we don't say is the Alleluia. And of course, we shall say that in just a few weeks, very much more rapidly than we would rather, because it entails a great deal of work that hopefully you will share in. But the book of Ecclesiasticus speaks about the fact that he is beloved of both God and men, and that he was in the fear of his enemies. And indeed, one of the things which I do on this day, almost every year, or will until hopefully the end of my life, is that I bless the medals, the numismatici of Saint Benedict, that have the cross and the letters that basically cast off Satan and all evil spirits. And of course, the blessing is a blessing that is according to his holy order that he founded. Born around the year of 380 in Norcia, not too far from Rome, he and his sister, his twin sister, Scholastica, whose beautiful hymn from Monte Cassino we chanted before the Mass, were very much predestined by God for special things. And so he, very soon after, he went off to college with his nurse, and it's interesting, not too many of us take our nurse with us to college, but he did. It was the will of his father and mother. And he went to Rome to study, found himself surrounded by sin and evil and all kinds of immoralities, which he fought and conquered, not allowing them to touch him and to destroy his innocence from his baptism. And then he thought, this is enough of this. He may or may not have gotten a degree, but either way, he had a great deal of knowledge and wisdom that proceeded from on high. And so he dismissed the nurse and sent her home to Norcia, to his parents and his sister, and then went into the area of Subiaco. It's a mountainous area not far from Rome, where the emperors had dug for themselves caves in the ground that they filled with water, or maybe the springs filled them with water. And as such, it was called Sublacum, which means beneath the lake. And there, on in a mountain and in a cliff, he chose a cave and started to live the eremitical life. And at that point, he realized that he needed help and he needed food and drink. So God sent him a holy monk, a priest, whose name was Romanus. And Romanus would bring him food every few days and a flask of wine and a flask of water, fresh water. And so he began his life in this way. Soon, the shepherds found him, and he began to teach them the catechism. And then others found him, and they wanted to join him in the eremitical life, and so began the Benedictine order. In the meantime, his powers that God had given to him for miracles and exorcisms and so forth began to be manifested. And the local priest there in Sublacum became very, very jealous of him, and so he wanted to kill him. So he sent him a flask of poison wine and a loaf of bread that was also poisoned. And as he blessed the bread, and at that moment a raven came and took the bread from him and dropped it off into a lake. And then as he blessed the flask of wine, it exploded, and no one could drink the poisonous wine. Saint Benedict knew and decided right then and there that he would move from there, because he did not want any jealousies from anyone. So he and his monks, about 30 of them by then, went south to a beautiful mountain called Monte Cassino. And there he began the great monastery, which is still to this day. Now he saw in his visions that the monastery would be destroyed four times in the history of the church before the coming of Christ. And the fourth time it was destroyed was by the command of the Freemasons, Churchill and Roosevelt and the like, Stalin, and they destroyed it very much, but did not touch the bodies of St. Benedict or St. Scholastica, who were buried near each other, where they still are, and where we have celebrated on numerous occasions the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so it has been rebuilt, of course, magnificently, but now we wait to see the last destruction will be at the end of time, when all of the world will be destroyed and rebuilt anew. And so today we honor St. Benedict, and we have blessed his medals, and we give thanks to God. Of course, his principal biographer is none other than our very special patron, St. Gregory the Great, who was also a Benedictine monk. And so many, many thousands and thousands of young men have become Benedictine monks in various of the families of the Benedictine family throughout the ages. And his sister, of course, came also. She became the first. She founded with him the second order of St. Benedict, the nuns, the cloistered nuns, who are still, even to this day, thriving despite all the evils. There is a third order, which are sort of oblates, but they're also sisters, but not nuns. And unfortunately, they have become very worldly and are almost gone totally. And so it is. God destines things to happen for a special reason. And our school was at one time staffed by these same Benedictine sisters from Cullman, Alabama. In the meantime, the monastery in Cullman of the monks has been seeing a renaissance and a restoration from very lax and liberal for many decades since the Second Vatican Council to now when they're returning, including with the celebration of the ancient rite of the Mass. So we pray for the Benedictines of St. Bernard Abbey in Cullman that they may continue the reform and not give in to the pressures of this time. And we pray to St. Benedict to deliver us from the devil and from all our enemies, whoever and wherever they may be found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.